Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The question was once asked of me, where does the New Testament command us not to keep the Sabbath day? And a similar question, where are we commanded to worship on the first day of the week rather than on the Sabbath? Now the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week, corresponding to our Saturday. In the Old Testament, we learn that God's people observed that day for religious reasons. And even though there be around some 500 million people who profess to be Christians, and this is not using the term Christian as the New Testament defines it to be sure, there are but a few hundred thousand who profess to be followers of Christ who contend that we are to worship on the seventh day rather than the first day of the week. It is fair to say that the majority of religious people really do not think it makes much difference one way or the other, because they have the idea that whatever a person wants to do, and whatever he does with sincerity, why, God will accept it anyway. Well, the immediate answer to the question, there is no place in the New Testament where we are specifically commanded not to worship on the Sabbath day. In fact, there is no commandment anywhere that forbids us from worshiping God any day of the week. But neither are we commanded to observe the seventh day above other days. The real question should be, where is the authority for worshiping on the first day of the week, rather than keeping the Sabbath as was done in Old Testament times? What we do, friends, should be done by the authority of Christ, Colossians 3 and verse 17. And without that authority, we're acting on the authority of men rather than God. Now, Sabbath keepers offer certain contentions that are designed to persuade us to keep the Sabbath. And we feel obligated to consider such things before we dismiss them. Let us see if their contentions have biblical and historical merit. We're told that Sunday, the first day of the week, is a day of ancient pagan worship of the sun. And this is where the day got its name, Sunday. They conclude, therefore, the day is unfit for Christian worship, and it is the result of mixing of paganism and Christianity. But friends, Saturday is no better in this regard, taking its name from the worship of the planet Saturn. The point is, neither of the names have any religious significance to Christianity, any more than a man's name like brown, black, green, or white determines his skin color. All the days of the week take their name from some mythological sources and worship of various man-made gods. It is also claimed that Constantine, the Roman emperor, by imperial decree changed the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday, and they said he did this about 321 A.D. This is historically inaccurate. It is true that he gave the day an official Roman sanction. He declared it to be a holiday. But the day of worship on the first day of the week had been practiced long before his decree. In fact, giving it legal recognition was one thing. But there is no evidence that Christians worshipped in observance of the Sabbath prior to his imperial edict. Others claim the Roman Catholic Church changed the day from the seventh to the first. Now, it is true that Catholics change many things that vary from the New Testament, and they like to lay claim for many of these changes. But even they deny having changed the day of worship. They take no credit for it whatever, and this is significant, since they like to claim authority for almost everything. Catholicism was historically unknown for nearly 600 years after the Lord's Church was established in Jerusalem on the first Pentecost after his resurrection. It is contended that the seventh-day observance is in the Mosaic Law, and this is true. Sabbatarians will admit this law has been removed, but only in part. They arbitrarily divide Moses' law into moral and ceremonial parts, claiming only the ceremonial has been removed, and that Sabbath keeping falls under the moral law category. Now we must look at this closely. Of the more than some 660 laws in the Mosaic Law, There is no verse that makes a division as moral and ceremonial, one part removed and the other part remaining. This is simply man's imagination and man's invention. To remember the Sabbath day is the fourth of the Ten Commandments, and no passage designates them as being wholly moral. In fact, the fourth commandment is obviously ceremonial in nature. So even if the moral laws of Moses were retained, the Sabbath would be excluded. The Sabbath had to do with ceremony keeping, not morality. And furthermore, all the law of Moses has been taken away, including the Ten Commandments. Romans 7 and verse 1, Paul wrote, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth." And then Paul went on to say in verse 6, "But now are we delivered from the law." Now, from what law did Paul say we're delivered? He identifies that law as the one that said, "Thou shalt not covet," which is the tenth of the Ten Commandments, a moral law. Now, while it is true that nine of the Ten Commandments have been embodied into the law of Christ, and some of these expanded to include not only actions but also attitudes, the new will of Jesus did not include the fourth, that calls for the remembrance of the Sabbath. The truth is that the Sabbath law is a part of that law from which we are delivered. To hold to that law is to deny the faith and the authority of Christ to be above that of Moses. Galatians 3, beginning with verse 23, "But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster." Friend, few things are taught clearer in the New Testament than the fact that the law God gave Israel through Moses is binding upon no person today, Jew or Gentile. And again in Colossians 2 and verse 14, "Christ having blotted out the bond written in ordinances that was against us, nailing it to his cross." And then Colossians 2:16 and 17 says, "Those things of the old law, let no man judge you according to such things." Why, they're simply not to be followed, inasmuch as they are shadows of things to come. Notice, among those things that were not to be used as a standard for judgment included Sabbath days. In Galatians chapter 4, and the allegory of Sarah and Hagar as they represented the new and old laws, it is evident that the old law has been taken away. And Paul said, "To attempt to be justified by the old law is to fall from grace." Galatians 5 and verse 4. Now, much is made by Sabbatinarians of Genesis 2, 2 and 3. So let's read these words. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day, and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all of his work which God created and made." Now the contention is that God, from the beginning, required the observance of the Sabbath, and that he hallowed it at the very end of creation. Well, there's no question that God sanctified or set apart the Sabbath. But when he did it is something else. And for whom he hallowed it, we must learn. For how long did he hallow that day? When did man begin to observe it? For these questions to be answered, we must turn to Scripture. Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 13 and 14 tell us, "Thou camest down upon also Mount Sinai, and spake with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments, and true law, and good statutes, and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, laws, by the hand of Moses thy servant." Dear friend, There is not one line of evidence that the patriarchs prior to Moses observed the Sabbath, and they were people of God. The law was given at Sinai, and it was given to the Israelite nation, Deuteronomy 5, verse 2 and 3. It was never a law given to Gentiles, nor a law given before Sinai. And as for its duration, it was to last throughout the generation of the Jews, Exodus 31 and verse 16 going forward. That has long since passed, and the law is not even binding upon that race and nation to which it was given. Certainly, it does not apply to us today. Now, some contend we should observe the Sabbath because Jesus did. But now you keep in mind, Jesus was a Jew, and he lived under the law, and he lived perfectly under the law. It was still in effect for the Jew during the lifetime of Jesus on earth. But the question is, did he enjoin the observance of the Sabbath on those who would come to God through him? If so, where is the passage? Friend, every argument put forth by Sabbath keepers fails to prove the Sabbath is still God's law for all the world today. But to show their contentions wrong does not prove the first day of the week to be correct. We must now turn our attention to this matter. Whereas Christ did not bind the Sabbath on Christians, where is the scripture that shows the Christians worshipped on the first day of the week, which corresponds to our Sunday? Well, the first day of the week was a significant day in Christianity because so many important things happened on that day. Christ arose on the first day, John chapter 1. The Holy Spirit came on the apostles on the first day, the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. The church was established that same day, Acts 2. Christ appeared to his apostles on the first day, John 20, verse 19. In the absence of emphasis on the seventh day, we find examples of assembly for worship and study and giving and the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, Acts 20 and verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. The command to not forsake the assembly in Hebrews 11 and verse 25 must be noted. We're commanded to assemble. We're not to forsake it. And it is in these assemblies that we worship God through Christ. Acts 20 and verse 7 tells us that Paul did go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, but he did not for the purpose of Jewish worship, but to take advantage of the opportunity of teaching concerning Christ. And when he spoke to his Christian brethren, it was on the first day of the week. Now, secular history, which is not our religious authority, but is a corroborating evidence of the day the early Christians assembled for worship. Every Christian literature, letters, commentaries, history of the church, as well as non-Christian accounts, indicate the same thing. Christians met for worship on the first day of the week, the same day Justin Martyr called the Lord's Day, taken from the phrase in Revelation 1 and verse 10. These secular writings date back within 40 to 50 years of the life of John, the Apostle of Christ. If we be honest with the evidence, we can draw some conclusions with certainty and assurance. The Sabbath was enjoined on Israel during the period when Moses' law was operative for that nation. But once the law of Christ was revealed and set in effect, that entire law was removed. We live by and under the authority of Christ, and his authority says nothing of the observance of the Sabbath, but shows his disciples worshiping on the first day of the week. This is why we do the same thing. We simply speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. By command, by example, historical evidence, we can make such a conclusion. And rather than our practice being questionable, we would ask those who contend for the continuation of Sabbath keeping, where is the passage that the patriarchs observed that day? Where is the teaching that any except Israel was so commanded? Where is the division of Moses' law into ceremonial and moral divisions, with some being set aside and others retained? Why take some of the moral law of Moses, but only omit part of it? Like taking one's brother's widow and raising seed in his name. Why do they not restrict their labor and travel with attending punishment for violators, as the law of Moses requires? Well, these questions must be considered in the light of truth, and it will assist us to show that worshiping on the first day of the week is not really the major question. The question is the observance of the Sabbath. That's what is questioned, and that is what not authorized under Christ. The will of Christ makes it plain what we must do, and this is why we worship on the first day of the week. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.